To see you this morning, we welcome you to our morning worship service, and we praise the Lord for His goodness to us and His mercy. Let me read a passage of Scripture that will set up the first song for us. The Bible says in Lamentations chapter 3, "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness." The mercy of God is new every morning. And so I want you to stand with me as we sing together, "His mercy is more." What love could remember no wrongs we have done? Omniscient, all-knowing, He counts not their sum. Thrown into a sea without bottom or shore, our sins, they are many, His mercy is more. Praise the Lord, His mercy is more. Stronger than darkness, new every morn. Our sins, they are many, His mercy is more. How many of you believe that this morning? Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's sing together on this next verse. What patience would wait as we constantly grow. What Father so tender is calling us home. He welcomes the weakest, the vilest, the poor. Sins, they are many, His mercy is more. Praise the Lord, His mercy is more. Stronger than darkness, new every morn. Our sins, they are many, His mercy is more. Now as we sing together on this last verse, we'll sing it without the piano. Just lift up your voices as we sing, "What riches of kindness,
what riches of kindness He lavished on us. His blood was the payment, His life was the cost. We stood neath a debt we could never afford. Our sins, they are many, His mercy is more. Praise the Lord.
Sins, they are many, His mercy is more." Amen and amen. Well, we want to be remembering Brother Wayne Morgan in prayer as he continues to be in the hospital. And just pray that God will give the doctors wisdom and understanding as they continue to diagnose his situation there, and that God will just undertake for him. I'm going to ask Brother Glenn to come and lead us in our opening prayer.
Heavenly Father, as we come before your throne of grace, we thank you for this beautiful day and for so many beautiful days here recently. And as we see the grandeur of your creation, seeing the changing, the colors, the leaves of the trees, and just marvel at how infinite is your wisdom and your power to have originally created all of this and giving to each kind of life the ability to reproduce. And so we are so in awe of your infinite wisdom and power in all of your creation. And then we thank you for your great work of salvation. And as we were singing about your mercy and your grace, we know that as sinners we all deserve eternal punishment. But by your grace you've kept us from that. And by your grace, you've given to us that which we don't deserve. And now I ask your blessing upon our service together here this morning as we sing these songs and hymns of adoration directed to you. And I pray for Pastor as he shares truths from your word. And as we're in this missionary month, pray that we'll all be challenged to be greater missionaries on our own, and then to see what role you would have in supporting the missionaries that this church supports. So we ask your blessing upon all of that takes place here today in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. And we want to sing on this next song. You know, the Bible says the compassion makes the difference. And so let's sing right out this great song here. Let's wait till we get the words up there. All right, we are called to make a difference.
We are called to make a difference in a world that needs God's love. We are called to make a difference through His Word from above. May we be a people willing to
last verse, I want you to actually we'll just repeat that verse, Kevin. But I want you to think about the people that made a difference in your life. One, think about why are you sitting where you are today? There had to be somebody in your life that directed you to Jesus, right? Somebody that cared enough to make a difference. Somebody that cared enough to tell you of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I think about a couple of my pastors, one who was instrumental in my salvation. He's now with the Lord. But I think about others along the way that we have an opportunity in life to make a difference in someone else's life. And don't ever discount that. Say, well, I'm not much. Yes, you are. You're a child of God. Amen? Because you're a child of God, you're something. And God wants to use each and every one of us to make a difference. So let's sing this last verse again. We are called to make a difference.
We are called to make a difference for a people trapped in sin. We must humbly go and tell them of Christ's freedom from within. May His Holy Spirit
together as we sing another song here. I love to tell the story of unseen things above. Seated. As you know, last Sunday we started Mission Emphasis Month, and we gave you a bulletin last week that gave you a display of all of our missionaries and how we support them on a monthly basis. And for those of you that are new to our church, just let me give a word of explanation about our budget, if you would. We have a general budget that helps pay all the bills, and then we have a faith promise budget. So they're two separate ones, and for the faith promise, that's how we pay all of our missionaries from that budget. And every year in October, we have either a mission conference or Mission Emphasis Month. This year, we have chosen to go with the Mission Emphasis Month, and part of that is to just challenge us afresh and anew for the souls of people locally and then around the world as well, mindful of our missionaries and so forth. And we set a goal every year as we think about faith promise giving. And our goal for this next calendar year is $38,000 and supporting our missionaries. And we're so thankful for each and every one of them. And as I said last week, we want to do two things this year with this new budget, and that is to be able to bring back up to levels that we had our missionaries at before. We want to be able to do that, and then also to be able to take on new missionaries. You wouldn't believe how many times I get, if you would, I'll use the word solicitations from missionaries. Hey, can I come to your church, and can I present our burden for going to India, going wherever that they are going to? And I love it that they do that. And I wish we could take them all on, but we can't. But we do want to do our part. So I want to encourage you to be praying much about your faith promise goal for next year. This is above and beyond what you give with your tithe, above and beyond that. You give this either on a weekly basis or a biweekly basis or a monthly basis, whatever works for you. But we're so thankful for the opportunity to support missionaries and to read about what is happening in their lives. And so I want to encourage you to take the bulletin that we gave you today. If you're new to Faith Promise Giving, I want you to just read it and then ask God, God, what would you have me to give above and beyond my tithe for the cause of missions in this next calendar year? And we'll take up those cards at the end of the month and just look forward to God doing great things through us as a church. He's been doing good things, and I praise him for that. So I want to encourage you to be faithful in this matter of giving. And those of you that are watching by Facebook, that's a challenge for you as well, okay? Not just for those in the building, but those of you that haven't been with us yet, but you want to be, we want to encourage you to pray about that as well. So make that a matter of strong prayer. All right, take your Bibles this morning and turn to the book of Acts, would you? The book of Acts. I'll read this passage of scripture, and then we'll have a special song this morning that will challenge your hearts. Acts chapter 1, and we're going to start, if you would, at verse number 1 down through verse number 11. Acts chapter 1, starting at verse 1 down through verse number 11. The Bible says, "The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Just pause there for a moment. We as God's people ought to rejoice that we serve a risen, living Savior. And I tell you that because that's why we meet this morning, because he lives. And so here he says in verse number 4, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and in the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And when they looked steadfastly toward heaven, and as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. Now keep your place there. This morning I want to preach a message entitled, Stop Gazing and Go. Stop gazing and go. Father, now I ask that you would touch our hearts through this passage of Scripture. Help us to be obedient to the heavenly commission, to go into all the world and to preach the gospel. My time is of the essence. I think of the Lord Jesus when he said, night comes when no man can work. And we believe that our salvation is nearer than when we believed that Jesus Christ can come at any moment. And one thing we will not do in heaven that we can do right now is to tell others of Jesus. And so challenge our hearts afresh and anew in Jesus' name. Amen.
They must hear words of life. Only we can share. People need the Lord. People need the Lord. When they end up broken dreams, He's the open door. People need the Lord. Give our lives for people need the Lord. People need the Lord.
Amen and amen. Thank you. What a great challenge for us in this missions month to understand that people need the Lord. Have you ever been one of those moments where you were just awestruck with a situation, with an event, and you just were like, wow, I just want to stay here? That's exactly where the disciples were, as in our text we read. And the angel said to them, "Why stand ye gazing? It's time for you to go. This same Jesus that you've seen go into heaven, in like manner, he's going to come again. But until that event happens, you need to go." And as I think about that, I think about how that the work of Jesus Christ is finished and unfinished. It is finished in respect to salvation. That when Jesus Christ died on the cross, he said, "It is finished." There's nothing more that Jesus must do in order to provide a way of salvation. This is why the Bible says that it is not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he has saved us. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And so when Jesus cried those great words, "It is finished," he meant just that. He had done exactly what the Father wanted him to do. And so he ascended back into heaven. And one day, our hope is that he is coming again. But when we say that his work also is unfinished, we think about the work of evangelism through the church that is still not finished. And the parting words of Jesus to his disciples were words of action. That they were not to sit around to debate the signs of the time, but they were rather to go and reach a lost world with the gospel. Because even in this very context, we find that they did question Jesus, "Will you now restore the kingdom again to Israel?" And Jesus says, "Men, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power." He says, "But here's what you are to do. You are to go into Jerusalem, be endued with power from on high, and go and make a difference. You are to go and impact your world with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ." He says to them in that context, "Men, get going. Get going." And so this morning I want us to think about this very matter of stop gazing and go. First of all, would you notice with me in the text that we need to stop gazing and go because we have a command. Go with me to the New Testament book of Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28, a familiar passage to most of you. But Matthew chapter 28, we find the words of the Lord Jesus as he gets ready to ascend back into heaven. And he gave this instruction in Matthew 28, verse 18. "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. In Mark's Gospel, chapter 16, verse 15, it says it this way, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. The instruction simply was to go. But notice here in verse number 18 of Matthew 28, Jesus said that all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. So these men, and may I say the church of Jesus Christ today, is sent out under divine authority. He has said all power. The Lord Jesus Christ then is speaking from a moment of authority. He's saying all power, all authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And when I think about the Lord Jesus and his authority, I think about when he was here on earth, how that he had exercised authority over disease and sickness and death. He also exercised authority over demons and death. He also exercised authority to lay down his life and to take it up again. And then notice in Matthew 24 and verse number 30. In Matthew 24 and verse number 30, Jesus says these words, speaking of authority, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. So Jesus Christ then will come, if you would, with power. That speaks of his authority. And remember, the Bible says in Philippians 2 that one day every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is who? Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And so one day he will come, and when he comes, he will come with all power and all authority and all glory. Then the Bible also says this, speaking of his authority, in Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 18. The Bible says, and he, that is Christ, is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. So Jesus Christ, if you would, and I trust we never think this lightly or we never say it lightly, but Jesus Christ truly is the head of this church. Why? Because he is the head of the church. When the Bible says in Matthew 16, 18, that I will build whose church? Pastor Candidate's church? No. He says, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So when we think about the Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew 28 saying, all power, all authority is given unto me in heaven and earth, he says, now based on that, I want you to stop gazing, if you would, just stop being enthralled with the moment. He says, I want you to get going. There is a mission to accomplish. I think about a pastor who was deeply burdened for a banker in the city of New York, New York City. And one day he went to the banker's office and asked for a 10-minute interview. And the banker asked, well, have you come on business, preacher? And the preacher said, yes, business for God and for eternity. I would like to talk to you about your soul. To which the banker said to the preacher, I've been waiting for 30 years for someone to tell me how to get saved. You see, that preacher had a burden to reach that banker with the gospel, but very enlightening when he said, I've been waiting for 30 years for someone to tell me how to be saved. And you see, folks, nowhere in the Word of God, from Genesis to Revelation, where will you ever find any verse of Scripture? If you do, let me know. I'll backtrack, all right? Like a politician. But anyway, but may I say, you'll never find any verse of Scripture that says to the unsaved that they are commanded to come to church. But we, God's people, are commanded to come to church, and we are then to leave this place of instruction, this place of worship, this place of praise, and go out into a lost world that needs to hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so when you think about this context in Acts chapter 1, these disciples were being prepared once again. Men, don't stand gazing. Get ready to go and make a difference. So stop gazing, he says to them, and go, because we have a command. But notice, secondly, stop gazing and go because we have a power. Now go back to our main text and look at Acts chapter 1. In Acts chapter 1, we find in verse number 8, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you." Notice in verse number 4, "And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem." You could read in Luke chapter 24 where Jesus gave the instruction, "Men, I want you to go to Jerusalem and wait there until you be endued with power from on high." Well, this is that moment. As Jesus ascended back into heaven, these men, with 120 people, gathered together in a prayer meeting. And then in Acts chapter 2, you see the fulfillment of that prayer, or the answer to that prayer, that they were then endued with power from on high, that they were now being equipped to take a great gospel message, be fully equipped by God. He equipped them with the Holy Spirit to go out and make a difference. I have been going out with four men on Thursday nights, and it's encouraging to me. I don't know about to these men, I'm sure it is, but it's encouraging to me to know that though I go with them, praise God, the Holy Spirit goes with us. He is the one that empowers us. He is the one that enables us to speak and to lead and guide our conversation. Why would we lean on the Holy Spirit? Well, one, according to Acts chapter 1 and verse number 8, he is the one that empowers us to witness. How many of you ever feel weak in this matter of witnessing to others? Sure, I would say most of us do. We feel sometimes inadequate. We feel like, hey, I probably should go to Bible college to get more answers or know how to witness. But that isn't what God said to us. Now, some of us have had that privilege. We've gone off to a Bible college. But may I say, after many years removed from being in Bible college, I'm still learning how to witness and tell others of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't have all the answers. Now, the gospel doesn't change, but may I say that the Holy Spirit is there to empower us to witness and to tell others. He is the one also, according to John 16, where Jesus says that the Holy Spirit, when he comes, he will convict men because they do not believe on me. How many of you realize this morning that we are not the Holy Spirit? Huh? We're not the Holy Spirit. We are tools in the hand of the Lord. We are to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We are to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit is the one that's doing that convicting work as we are witnessing to someone. Don't you love it when those moments when you've prayed and you ask God to open up a door of opportunity to speak to someone on a given day of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit just opens that door of opportunity and verses just start coming to your mind, and you begin to roll those verses out to that lost sinner, and you begin to see them come under great conviction of sin. Oh, I have had those moments, and I realize it's not by my persuasive words. It's the Holy Spirit of God working through me, convicting that lost sinner of their need, because that's what he's supposed to do. And you see, we find the Holy Spirit empowers us to witness. He convicts the sinner of unbelief, and then he brings new life and spiritual life. Go with me, if you would, to John chapter 3. John chapter 3, and I want you to notice in the context here, as Jesus is speaking to a religious man, and he tells him he must be born again. And so we find in John chapter 3 and verse number 5 and 6, "Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Yesterday we had opportunity to hold our latest grandson, and a month old now, and my, the beauty there and the awesomeness of holding a newborn. Until he starts to cry, and then I hand him back to Teresa. My daughters know that, and I'm not using it as a cop-out, but when I hold babies and they cry, it just grates on my ears. So Teresa, now you know why our girls were babies, I would go find somewhere else to enjoy life. Because seriously, it just that shrill sound just gets to me. And so Dean started doing that yesterday, and I handed him off, and then there was another moment that didn't smell so good, and I handed him off again. And so, but man, just to see that full head of hair and just the beauty of life. But may I say there's something that's even more dynamic than that? How that God can take, through the working of the Holy Spirit and his word, how you and I can be used of God to tell somebody of Jesus and to watch that person come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. I'm telling you, there's nothing like that in all the world. It is one of the most exciting things to tell somebody of Jesus. And to think about the Holy Spirit here in this context. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. It's beautiful. It's neat. It's really awesome. You get to see the power of God in that. But that which is of the Spirit is Spirit. What's he saying? He is saying this, that there can be no true evangelism without the work of the Holy Spirit, because no one is truly saved without the working of the Spirit of God and the Word of God. Let me say that again. No one is truly saved apart from the working of the Spirit of God and the Word of God. It takes both. You see, I'm all for us, and those of you that have been under training times where I have taught you how to win others to Christ, one of the things I teach you is how to tell your testimony. Because when we're saved, we have a testimony. We testify what's taken place in our life. But one of the things I try to instruct you to do is to tie that to the Word of God. Why? Because long after you leave that individual, the Word of God abides forever. And you take that Word of God and you sow that seed, or you leave them with a gospel tract and you tell them, hey, take time to read this. It has the Word of God in it. It will help you and explain to you how you can know Jesus Christ as your Savior, because the Spirit of God takes the Word of God. I don't know how many times I've read a testimony like this, true stories of individuals, salesmen, traveling and they check into a hotel and life is just at the bottom for them, and they reach in the dresser drawer there, and there they find a copy of the Bible. There's no one in that room, just them and the Word of God and someone else they don't see, the Holy Spirit. And they begin to read the Bible, and they realize, I'm lost. I need Jesus as my Savior. And there beside their bed, they kneel and they pray and they ask the Lord Jesus Christ to come into their life and save them. I'm telling you, two powerful forces at work, the Word of God and the Holy Spirit of God. And so when you think about this, when God sends us out, he says, I want you to go, but I don't want you to go in your own strength. I want you to go in the power of the Holy Spirit. And so in Acts 1:8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Look, now you're in the book of Acts. I appreciate your attentiveness this morning. Go to Acts chapter 1, or Acts chapter 2. Now Peter, in this context, he preaches a great powerful message about Jesus. And there's at least 3,000 people there. You say, how do you know that? Because after he preached, 3,000 people, about 3,000 that day, prayed and asked the Lord Jesus Christ to save them. And they were baptized that day as well. Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit. He was used of God. Go to Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4 and look at verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all what, church? Filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Underscore this. It wasn't they were dynamic men. They were just people like you and me, but filled with the Holy Spirit of the living God. And when they were filled with the Holy Spirit of the living God, they spake God's word with boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. And they gave great power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I could go on and on, but I think you get it this morning that this work that we have been called to evangelize is not going to happen apart from the Holy Spirit of God controlling our life daily. I wish I could stand before you and tell you that moment by moment my life is always controlled by the Holy Spirit, but it's not. I face the same battle you do. The flesh wars against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. But I trust that in my life I am learning more and more how to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. I talked to someone this past week about this matter of taking advantage of the opportunities to witness. And I don't know how many times I get up in the morning and I'll pray something like this. Lord, today as I go into my day, help me to tell somebody of Jesus. But then here's what I experience. God opens the door. And either I wasn't observant enough or disobedient. Sometimes it's both. And I'll drive away and I'll have the Holy Spirit of God say, why didn't you talk to that person? Didn't you just pray this morning and ask God to open up a door? He just did that. Why didn't you take advantage of that? I don't beat myself up over guilt, but I say, Lord, help me, give me boldness, help me to be more observant of the opportunities. Because how many times do we pray about things and have God answer the prayer, but because we're not observant enough, we don't step into the opportunities. I'm telling you, don't you think God cares about souls? He does. He cares about the souls of men. And I believe with all of my heart, since we are his mouthpiece, he wants to work through us to tell somebody of Jesus. You say, well, I don't have all the answers. Quit worrying about having all the answers. Hey, I've been doing this for many years, and I still run into moments when I say, man, that's kind of new. I haven't run into that one before. So you know what I do? I go home, I think about it, and try to get my axe a little bit sharper for the next time that question may come. But I tell you what, God wants to work through us. He says, now stop going. Start going. Start going because you have the power. Thirdly, stop going because we have a plan. Now go back to Acts 1. You're there. Acts 1, look at verse 8. And you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and the uttermost part of the earth. He is telling them, men, start where you are. That, in other words, Jerusalem was their home base. And then just keep branching out from there. Remember Mark 16:15, go ye into all the what? World and preach the gospel to every creature. So in essence, what Jesus is teaching them, men, I want you just to go everywhere. I want you to go everywhere with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I want you to go to Gaines. I want you to go to Durand. I want you to go to Byron. I want you to go to Flint. I want you to go to Swartz Creek. I want you to go to Lennon. I want you to go to Corunna. I want you to go to Owosso. I want you to go all over the state. I want you to go everywhere telling people of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You say, hey, what about on vacation? Sure, be ready to tell somebody when you're on vacation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You say, what about work? Yes, be ready to tell somebody of the gospel of Jesus Christ even while you are at work. What about school? You kids that are in school right now, hey, you got a great opportunity this year to tell some friend of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I look back at Joey and I look back at David and I think about these boys and how that they, and they're not the only boys here, but I just want using them as an illustration, how these boys, as they go to school and as they can tell their friends of Jesus Christ and thinking about these opportunities and how Sydney can go and how the Sleff boys here, well, although TJ's, he wants to go back to high school. No, he doesn't. But how that Tough can be used of the Lord this year to tell somebody at school how they can be saved. Hey, when you go to that coffee place and you join your friends, be ready to tell somebody of the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. In other words, Jesus wasn't saying it's just... Many times our thinking is wrong here. We think that the only place evangelism can take place is in the church. No, he says, hold it, you come here, you get instructed, then you go. You go out into a lost and dying world because the lost are not commanded to come to church. Now, please don't misunderstand this, because I want you to invite people to come. And Lord willing, when they come, I will give the gospel of Jesus Christ. But listen, they're not commanded to come, but we're commanded to go. And the plan is that we just go everywhere. We just scatter the seed. We have now, since about July, I think it is, maybe June, when Chad and I first started going down, we went down Nichols Road, and we've covered all the houses on Nichols Road. We've covered all the houses on Ray Road. We've covered the houses on Seymour Road. And we've covered now, or getting ready to cover, all the houses on Morris Road. I'm telling you, we're having some great opportunities to talk to some people. Joel and Kevin had some good opportunities this past Thursday. And I'm thankful for that. But that's just one method. There's not just one way to do it. When you are at work, when you're at school, when you're in your neighborhood, telling others of the Lord Jesus Christ, we simply go everywhere. Years ago, there was a missionary that spoke about his joy in sharing Christ. And as he was testifying, tears began to roll down his eyes. And he said, one day, I want to walk down the streets of heaven and have some person come running up to me and saying, thank you for coming to my village and telling me about Jesus. If you had not come, I would not be here. And I thought about that. As I thought about that, I asked this question this morning. Will you meet someone in heaven one day who will come to you with those same words? Thank you for coming to my house. Thank you for telling me at work how to be saved. Thank you for telling me at school how that Jesus could be my Savior. Thank you, thank you, thank you for telling me of Jesus. You see, these disciples were to go, not keep gazing. What a moment that was to see Jesus ascend. But Jesus says, man, I've left you here for a purpose. You got to work. You got to work to do. I've given you the plan. I've given you the power. Now go and tell. Go and tell. Now here's the last point I want to share with you. Stop gazing and go, because we have a promise. I read this to you, so just pay attention. Matthew 28:19. And lo, I am with you always. So we have a promise. Think about this, church, how neat this is. And how good God has been to set us up for victory in this task. He says, I'm leaving with you two things. I'm leaving with you the Holy Spirit. And I'm leaving with you the promise of my presence. Do we need anything else? I mean, think about it. We have the Holy Spirit of God living within us. We have Jesus as our Savior, and he says, I am with you always. We have this promise for competency when we are weak. We have this promise for courage when we are afraid. My, you ever get afraid? I know some of you never meet a stranger, and I get that. Sometimes I envy you. That's the best word. I know. Bible says don't be envious. But some of you just never meet a stranger. Man, you can just strike up the band. You can strike up the talk. And just, you just got that gift. I'm not necessarily one of those individuals. I can get into it once we get started. But it's that getting started. You with me? And that's probably the challenge for most of us. We know what we ought to do. We know what we ought to say. But how do I open that door? And Jesus says, hold it, I'm with you, because I want you to be courageous when you are afraid. And then he says, I am with you when you are discouraged. Now stay with me. I'm looking at some faces this morning of people who have been praying not for a month, but for many months, for many years, for a loved one or a friend or a coworker to come to Jesus. And you, like me at times, hit a wall and say something like this, because I've said it. Why keep praying for them? They don't seem to listen. They'll even come to church. I invite them to church. They come and they're still not saved. Well, what in the world is it going to take? You with me? Sometimes we get that kind of a mindset where we think, man, like, what, God, is it really going to take for them to come to Jesus? And sometimes the devil will work in our spirit and get us discouraged and say, why don't you just quit praying? Why don't you just give up? I think about a lady for 14 years who had prayed for her husband, and he finally came to know the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior. It just shocked her when she gave him another invite to come to church. And they had an evangelist come into their church and said, sweetheart, would you come? And hear the evangelist tonight. Man, he came and he got saved. It shocked her. But thank God she didn't give up praying for him. You move men to God through prayer. Yes, you go, but you move men to God through prayer. Let me say, church family, don't give up. I was looking at the cards on my desk of first-time guests that we've had since we've been open since May. And one of the things I look at is not only their name, but then I think about the person or persons that invited them. And I'm encouraged. We had someone here Wednesday night that came as a direct result of someone giving them an invitation to come to church. 95% of the people come to church for the first time because somebody invited them. That's an astonishing statistic. For the very first time they come. Now, they didn't go through the yellow pages, although who uses yellow pages anymore, right? Now they go to your church website, they Google it and say Calvary Baptist Church, and they find out more about your church and they come. But 95% of people come the first time because somebody cared enough to invite them. Now I realize if you're like me, you've made a lot of invites over the years. And you just want to quit. Say, why? Why do this? Nobody seems to be interested. I remember years ago, a man going with me out every week. And then finally he stopped. I said, why did you stop? He said, Pastor, the reason I've stopped, we don't see any fruit from this. I don't see the purpose of continuing to go out week after week and hardly find anybody home. And I get where he was coming from. But I told him this. I said, why do we do it? We want to just simply be obedient to the Lord. Because he said, some sow, some water. He gives the increase. I believe that with all my heart. Though we haven't seen a lot of visible fruit as we've been going out since June. I don't quit. I don't give up. I don't tell these men, hey, we're not going to go anymore. It's not working. You want to know why? Because God blesses obedience. Let me share this with you. William Carey is known as the father of modern missions. For 7 years, William Carey never saw one person saved. On the mission field, not one person saved. Now, I don't know about you. If I go that long without seeing anybody saved, it'd be real easy just to quit. Real easy just to say, I'm done. I'm leaving. But he stayed with it. And may I say that in our lives, sometimes we just need to remind ourselves, hold it, the Lord said go, and he says, I'll give you my word, I'll give you the Holy Spirit, and I'll give you my presence. I've equipped you. You just go and tell. You do your part. I'll do my part. I think about a lady by the name of Dr. Martha C. Myers. She was a dedicated Christian and a very avid soul winner. And she felt the call of God to go to the mission field. And of all places she went to, at that time, it was one of the most dangerous places on the earth. She went to Yemen. And for 25 years, she served there at the Jibla Hospital, which was an 80-bed facility that treated 40,000 patients yearly. In 1998, she was driving back up through the hill country to immunize boys and girls and to deliver babies. And she had become so loved by the people, yet some people hated what she was doing. And those who had reviled her decided to kidnap her and put her in the back seat of the car. They said to her, "You say anything and we'll kill you." However, the car stalled and they abandoned her. And her life was miraculously spared. Someone later had asked her, "If you had been shot and had known you were going to be shot, would you have gone to this dangerous place?" To which she said, without hesitation, "Oh yes, I sure would." On December 30th, 2002, a Muslim extremist with ties to Al-Qaeda broke into the hospital room where she was ministering to the people of Yemen. The extremist shot her in the head, killing her instantly. President Bush said that she was rendering humanitarian assistance, which she was, but she was there on a greater purpose. She was winning people to Jesus Christ. Her dad, a highly respected doctor in Alabama at the time, said this, and I quote, "She's in heaven for sure. That's why Christians have nothing to fear. From that standpoint, we will see her again. It's a matter of who gets to heaven first." You see, she was willing to go and tell. Could she have stayed in the States and done it? Yes. But God said, "I want you to go." And she went, and God blessed. So, to church this morning, we are to stop gazing and go. Are you being obedient this morning to the command? Are you relying on the Holy Spirit? Will you go this week and witness to your neighbor? Will you go and witness to a coworker? Will you go and witness to a friend at school? Will you go and witness to a relative? Will you go and witness to a friend? And will you go and witness to a stranger? God help us to go. Every head bowed and every eye closed. As you have heard this message this morning, the work of salvation through Jesus Christ has been finished, but there is an unfinished business that the Lord has left the church to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Are you being obedient to that command this morning? I wonder this morning, there'll be those here who say, "Pastor, in my life, I hear loud and clear the command from Jesus, and yet I know in my life that I am not obedient as I should be. I'm glad I'm saved, but yet I know that there are many around me who have never heard of Jesus as I have, and I want to be obedient to this command. Pastor, would you remember me in prayer this morning that this week God would work through me to tell a friend, to tell a coworker, tell someone of Jesus this week and how they can be saved? Pastor, remember me in prayer about that. Would you raise your hand where you're at? Yes, God bless you. Yes, God bless you. Yes, 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 several hands. Are there others this morning? Yes, God bless you. Are there others? Anyone else while we wait? Would there be somebody here who say, "Pastor, would you join me in prayer this week? And I'll be glad to share the name with you after the service this morning. But would you join me this week in praying for someone that I'm really burdened for. Pastor, would you do that? Pastor, I'm really burdened for someone. And I want you to remember me as I pray for them this week. Would you raise your hand where you're at? Yes, God bless you. Somebody else? Yes, yes, yes. Several hands. Praise the Lord. Anyone else while we wait? I wonder this morning to be those here who say, Pastor, I simply want to just be obedient to the Lord. I have never, and I'm not saying this to embarrass anyone, but to help. I wonder if there be someone here and say, Pastor, I've never told somebody of Jesus simply because I don't know how. I care about souls, but I don't know how to do it. I've never told somebody of Jesus simply because I don't know how. And I need your help. And I'll be glad to help you. But would you raise your hand so I can remember you in prayer this morning? Say, yes, Pastor, that's my need. Anybody else? Say, Pastor, I don't know how to do it. I don't know how. Not that there's a magical way to do it. There is a biblical way. But say, Pastor, that's my need. I want to be obedient, but I don't know how. That's my need. I want to learn how to tell others of Jesus. Anybody at all while we wait? Anybody at all? And now, Father, as you've seen the many hands that have been raised this morning, people wanting to be obedient, you've equipped them. You've equipped us to do it. So now help us to leave this building in a few moments and go and tell others. Help us. We need your help. I think about these who have, could be a loved one, could be a friend, could be a coworker. I don't know who it is, but you do. But they have someone that they're really burdened for. They need Jesus. It may keep them awake at night. It may bring tears to their eyes. It may bring long hours in prayer for them. But Father, help them not to get discouraged. But I join with them in praying for their, whoever that individual may be, that they would come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior soon and very soon. Father, help us as a church to lift up our eyes and look on the fields and go and tell others. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's stand together. Sherry begins to play through right now. All to Jesus I surrender. I'm going to encourage you to come during this time of invitation and just kneel here and say, Lord, would you use me this week? Would you use me this week to tell somebody of Jesus? You may want to come and pray for your loved one or coworker or a friend to school and really pray for them right now again that God would break their heart, that they would come to know Jesus as their Savior. Won't you come? Respond this morning. Let God work in your heart. Amen. God work in your heart. Be obedient this morning.